good morning, everyone. I thought I'd start by giving the definition that Yogananda gave for intuition. And he said, intuition is soul guidance, which occurs naturally when the mind is calm. I don't think there's any way to understand Judas's actions. And the other definition that Swami gave was, if I can recall it, through intuition, not the intellect, is the key to real understanding. I don't think we can grasp with our minds just how tricky delusion is and what a force it can be in our lives. So I thought I'd try to pick it up on a different thread. It's been quite a month for me. My son graduated from college on Memorial Day weekend. We just finished our school year. Brian was the boy that Asha often refers to. I used to bring him up in my arms for blessing. And when she would go to touch him with the blessing, he was the one who would say, "No, no, not that!" Which for some reason I always enjoyed. And now I'm teaching middle school. I wanted to share some stories about Bharat. Bharat was scheduled to come down this weekend. And I started to think about him. And he's a good friend of mine. We're not real close personally, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. And it was the early 70s, and one of the great challenges Ananda has always faced is how to support oneself. How do you make money when you're living at the village? At that time, Ananda was Ananda Village. There were no city centers. And Bharat came up with this idea that he would share nature with children. And he would take the kids from the village out into the meadow, and he would just work with them to try to give them a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation for nature, for trees, for the grass, for the birds. What Bharat brings to that, though, is a childlike enthusiasm that works wonders. And he can melt children in moments. And one of the first activities he does is the unnatural walk. He goes out the night before and he puts little pieces of unnatural things like plastic or paper or toys, and he hides them in nature along the trail, and then he has the kids come and look for them. And every kid loves to have a challenge and see if they can outsmart the teacher. So they're always looking around and they think they have it all down, but he always has a few that they don't even spot. But what that does is it starts to get the kids to be really focused and really aware and really alert. And that's his secret, to get them starting to get into nature. And he takes it on these different steps all the way through the point where they then come back and share their experiences. He put out a book in 1979. I don't think he'd ever written a book before in his life. He put out a book called Sharing Nature with Children based on his experiences with working with these children up at the village. And it became an immediate hit. The Boy Scouts recommended it to all their troop masters. It gained international fame. It's now celebrating its 30th anniversary, and it led to him creating a foundation where he takes people out into nature using those same simple, really simple concepts of just trying to get people, adults and children, to slow down a little bit and to notice nature and to see the trees and to listen to the birds and to just become more aware. And it's amazing how successful it's been. He once was invited to go to Japan, and he got off the train in this small Japanese village, and he got out, and he's a humble man, but there was this giant totem pole-like carving of him that the villagers had done in honor of him. He's like a demigod. And he was embarrassed by it, but because of his enthusiasm and his childlike quality, it just keeps going. The country of Japan now uses his book as a textbook in all their schools. He's in Brazil. He has workshops throughout the world. And all with this very simple idea of getting kids to slow down a little bit. Recently, the Living Wisdom Middle School went on a 5-day, 4-night backpacking trip. And I don't work the same way as Bharat. He was encouraging me to take this workshop recently. And I was kidding that I could take a workshop from him for a year and I would never have that kind of effusive enthusiasm he brings to it. But what I do with the kids is I take them out there and we went hiking. We did about 25 miles over 5 days. We had our packs. We ate our meals. But it was just watching the layers peel back a little bit. Kids that I've worked with, and they're so bright, and they're so enthusiastic about learning, and they're so amped up. I think it's part of the technology they're all exposed to. They move really fast. Their minds move really fast. Mine doesn't. Mine moves really slow. But, so to make the playing level a little bit, after carrying a backpack for about 2 days, then they start to slow down a little bit, and I notice just a little bit of the edge off. And I'd be hiking with these kids. One girl made no secret of the fact that she did not want to go camping, she did not like camping, she did not like backpacking, she didn't understand why we were backpacking. She thought it was like some form of torture that I had come up with. But we're bringing up the rear, and it's just she and I, and we're out in the forest, and we had just a long time together, just kind of hanging out and being in nature. And there's this photo of her in the slideshow. I don't think she'll still admit it, but there's this photo in the slideshow where you just really see a different girl coming to the fore. I kept telling her, it really doesn't have anything to do with backpacking. It's not like everyone has to love nature or love camping. It was about the physical challenges. It was about being with their friends. And it was about being in nature. And there is a transformation that happens. And all of this speaks to this topic of how do we fall? How do devotees as high as Judas forget? I actually wanted to change the topic, not why do devotees fall, but how do we ever forget? We have the blessings, we're uplifted by the music or by Swami or by Asha or by a book, and then we forget. And then we come and we're involved, and then we forget. It's really peculiar. I'm now coming up on 30 years with Ananda, and I've had my own cycles, ups and downs, and further attunement and less attunement. And the reading today, I didn't want to be it on a downer. It's such a celebratory time with the graduation, my son. I didn't want to talk about attachment to sense objects, and then infatuation, and then anger, and then thwarted desires, and then you're annihilated. I can talk on those topics, believe me. It's the way I tend to go. But in the expanded writing that Swami did on the topic, he took it the other way. He called it the ascending path. And he said, if you have a little inkling towards spiritual matters, foster it. That will bring you into contact with people who share your ideals. And this will lead to practicing meditation. I'm paraphrasing now. And blessings will come into your life. And when you put out a little bit of energy, because it is so amazingly easy to forget, you can walk out that door today and, oh yeah, I gotta get a cup of coffee. And next thing you know, it's unbelievable. It happens to me daily. I can forget so quickly the important things in life, the priorities. What would I want for my life? Unfortunately, it often takes a tragedy or something to shake us up, but it doesn't have to. So I came up with three things that I think could help us to remember. Because as Swami said, I don't think there's any other place in any writings that Swami has ever given us where he says we should be fearful of something. So this is big stuff, being fearful of delusion, being fearful of being taken off the path, being fearful of forgetting. And the first thing I came up with was sadhana. Any form of sadhana is good. 10 minutes a day of meditation, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, 3 hours. It just doesn't matter. But some form of quiet, stilling the mind, because through that, you build up intuition. And the intuition will guide you through life's dramas and life's challenges. And that is a given that we will be challenged. Even if you didn't know what was going on right now in our economy, in our country, there are always challenges. But right now, we're really heading into some, seems like, you know, stormy weather. So we have sadhana to work with. Then we have service. For some of us, just serving grounds us. For me, it's been a godsend. Sadhanas go up, sadhanas go down. But if you're serving all the time, I was involved in the Sunday school program for 20 years, which I think might be a record. But what it was, I tried to quit many, many times. It's like, this is no fun. This, I could be in listening to Asha instead. I'm working with the kids and they're not listening to me. So I've realized, though, that steady service, because that will keep you in tune, and you're just going to just physical. I went out this morning and I swept because it grounds me. I know what I'm doing here. There's chairs to fold. There's songs to sing. There's microphones to set up. There's sound to do. There's a million different ways to serve. And then the third thing is satsang. Satsang is when you're with other devotees who share the same high aspirations that you have. And it helps a lot, communities, spiritual communities. It's no coincidence that Yogananda started spiritual communities. And if you can work with devotees, but if you can just spend some time with other devotees, like-minded souls, it can be what makes the difference, because then you'll start to forget. And then you'll be, oh yeah, that's right, this person lifts me up. The song this morning, these musicians that I appreciate so much, it's what we all count on each other. It's a funny thing that the theme song to Ananda is Go On Alone. But at the same time, the need for other devotees in our lives is critical. So we have sadhana, service, and satsang. I'm going to throw in one last idea. It's something, again, that I've gone back and forth with. But tithing. Imagine anything more counterintuitive right now than asking people to give money away. With the job market, with things like that going on, and I'm saying that tithing has, for me, become a spiritual practice because I very consciously write that check. And I'm very consciously aware that the future is uncertain. But what that's saying is, okay, God, you are in charge. I had a great story shared with me today from Edwin, or this week. And he said, Ramakrishna, who's a great saint from India, said, look, you don't have to worry about wars. You don't have to worry about the economy. That's God's job. To his disciples, he said, you just have to worry about your spiritual path. That's all you have to worry about is your relationship with God. And Swami puts it that God will respond to any act at all of trying to commune with him. He will send tender blessings to you. So this is the promise that we all can live with, and it's really quite simple. And last summer, Swami kept saying that. It's really simple. It's really simple. But then he would say, but it's not easy. And then he even let it slip one time. He said, actually, this path is very difficult. So as long as you know what you're getting into, and what's really the alternative, we are never, ever going to find happiness in the worldly ways. The fact that we're a small minority, really, the fact that our school system, our health system, our political system, our economics are all kind of run with different set of priorities, so what? I was up here on Friday with those kids graduating, and one by one, they got up. And I've seen how even a little bit of meditation with middle schoolers, and they are restless. I can guarantee you, they are so restless, it's unbelievable. That even a little bit of energization exercises in the morning, and a little bit of chanting, and a few minutes of meditation, not even 7 days a week, 5 days a week, makes a huge difference in their consciousness, how they carry themselves. Now, if they can remember these blessings, and I think they will, because Yogananda's advice was, once you get a little bit older, you hit a couple of bumps in life, then you hearken back to, oh yeah, there was something to those teachings. So we can all dedicate ourselves ever more perfectly to this path, and it will serve us well.